He is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. What does that mean? Those who respect him, those who trusted in him, those who committed to him, those who are in his family. Again, this is the benefit of being a believer. God doesn't hold a grudge at me. If you're a believer, God is not angry with you. Let me say it again. If you're a believer, God is not angry with you. Why? All of the punishment was taken on the cross.
Today on Daily Hope with Rick Warren, we're entering the home stretch of our series called Good News About Grace. And this is part two of a message called Restoring Grace. It's taken from various portions of Scripture. Now, in just a few moments, we're going to tell you about a resource that will help you experience joy no matter what your circumstances are. You can find out more right now by going to rickwarren.org or by texting the word DAILY to 313131 while you listen to today's broadcast. Now, here's Pastor Rick with today's message.
Look at what the Bible says in Lamentations chapter 3. Read it with me, verse 22. God's compassion never ends. It is only his mercies that have kept us from complete destruction. Circle the word never. God's compassion never ends. And God does not reject believers when we sin. First, because his love is unconditional. Second, because my salvation isn't based on my performance. God doesn't reject believers when they sin because my salvation isn't based on my performance. Romans 9:16 says it doesn't depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. Now, we covered this in detail in the very first message in this series on saving grace. And I'll say it again. The only way you ever have ever any hope of getting into heaven is by the grace of God. You can't earn your way into heaven, buy your way to heaven, work your way into heaven, bluff your way into heaven, you know, whatever. If you don't get saved by grace, you're not getting saved. If you don't get into heaven on the grace of Jesus Christ, you're not going to get there because it's perfect and you're not. It's the only way. Read with me Titus 3:5. He saved us not because of the good things we did, but because of his mercy. And so God doesn't reject me as a believer when I sin because his love is unconditional and my salvation isn't based on my performance. Number three, because Jesus has already taken my punishment. God doesn't reject me when I sin because Jesus has already taken my punishment. If I've accepted that as a believer. You know, in America, we have a law called the law of double jeopardy. I think it was invented by Alex Trebek. And the law of double jeopardy says that you cannot be tried for the same crime twice. You cannot be convicted for the same crime twice. You cannot be punished for the same crime twice. That's true in God's book, too. That people are not punished for the same crime or the same sin twice. Now, 2,000 years ago, Jesus stretched his arms out on the cross and took the punishment for my sin and for yours. He took it all. He paid the price for you. He took your rap. He served your term. He took the death penalty for you. The wages of sin is death, and he died for you. Now, what sins did he die for? All of them. The ones in your future that you don't even know about yet. He died for those too. And they've already been punished. The sins that you committed in the past, the ones you're going to do in the future, somebody's already taken the punishment for them. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did. That's why he cried out on the cross, "It is finished." And in Greek, it was tetelestai, saying, "Paid in full." It's paid in full. Now, can you imagine God coming to you the next time you sin and he said, "Oh, by the way, what Jesus did for you, it wasn't good enough. I'm going to punish you too." Doesn't make sense, does it? That's double jeopardy. If God punished you, it would mean saying that what Jesus did for you wasn't good enough. But it was. I don't know how to say it any clearer than this. If you are a Christian and you have received the grace of God, God does not punish you when you sin. Because that punishment was already taken by Jesus on the cross. Now, I know what some people are thinking. They say, wait a minute. Let me get this right. Jesus has already been punished for all the things I'm going to do too? Yes. And some people say, well, that means somebody could go out and say, then I can do whatever I want. This is great. All my sins have already been punished and paid for. I can go out and I can go to bed with anybody I want to go to bed with. I can cheat on my income tax. I can lie. I can steal. I can do whatever I want to do because it's already been punished on Jesus and I'm not going to pay the punishment for it. Let me just say this. If you feel that way, if you think that thought, you are not a genuine believer in Jesus Christ. You're not a real Christian.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with a portion of today's message called Restoring Grace. It's part of the series called Good News About Grace. Stay right here because there's more great teaching coming up. If you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. That's rickwarren.org or just text the word DAILY to 313131. Again, that's the word DAILY to 313131. The second half of today's study is coming up next.
If you've been listening to Daily Hope for a while, you've no doubt heard Pastor Rick say that the secret to being happy, no matter what, is looking at every experience and circumstance you face from God's viewpoint. That's why we'd like to tell you about the new Choose Joy devotional written by Pastor Rick's wife, Kay Warren. Each devotion begins with much needed encouragement from Scripture, followed by Kay's wise words on how to choose joy, minute by minute if necessary. Kay wraps up each devotion with a short prayer to help bring you closer to the source of all joy, our loving God. If you need to revolutionize the way you look at life's ups and downs, let us send you this beautiful hardcover devotional book as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. Call today, 800-600-5004, or visit rickwarren.org to get your copy of this amazing resource. That's 800-600-5004 or rickwarren.org. Thanks so much for your support. When you contact us, remember to ask for the Choose Joy devotional by Kay Warren.
Once again, here's Rick.
The sins that you committed in the past, the ones you're going to do in the future, somebody's already taken the punishment for them. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. That's why he cried out on the cross, "It is finished." And in Greek, it was tetelestai, saying, "Paid in full." It's paid in full. Now, can you imagine God coming to you the next time you sin and he said, "Oh, by the way, what Jesus did for you, it wasn't good enough. I'm going to punish you too." Doesn't make sense, does it? That's double jeopardy. If God punished you, it would mean saying that what Jesus did for you wasn't good enough. But it was. I don't know how to say it any clearer than this. If you are a Christian and you have received the grace of God, God does not punish you when you sin. Because that punishment was already taken by Jesus on the cross. Now, I know what some people are thinking. They say, wait a minute. Let me get this right. Jesus has already been punished for all the things I'm going to do too? Yes. And some people say, well, that means somebody could go out and say, then I can do whatever I want. This is great. All my sins have already been punished and paid for. I can go out and I can go to bed with anybody I want to go to bed with. I can cheat on my income tax. I can lie. I can steal. I can do whatever I want to do because it's already been punished on Jesus and I'm not going to pay the punishment for it. Now, let me just say this. If you feel that way, if you think that thought, you are not a genuine believer in Jesus Christ. You're not a real Christian. Because no real genuine believer would ever pervert the grace of God, would flaunt it, would abuse it in such a way. Grace makes me want to do what's right, not what's wrong. Grace is not a license to just say, well, I know I'm all forgiven, so I'll go ahead and just keep on doing what I want to because I'm forgiven. Therefore, I'll keep having this affair. I know I'm forgiven. Therefore, I'm just going to go ahead and leave my family. I know I'm forgiven. Therefore, I'll just do whatever I want to do. That is an abuse of grace. And no genuine believer would flaunt the grace of God like that in the face of God. Grace makes me want to do what's right. And when I really understand grace, it goes, God, I am so grateful. You're telling me that everything I'm ever going to do wrong has already been taken care of? Yes. Oh, God, I am so grateful for that. I am so grateful. I want to serve you the rest of my life. I want to love you. I want to do whatever you made me to do in this world. Besides, while God does not condemn you and God does not punish you, you will be disciplined. So what's that? Well, discipline is very different than punishment. Punishment is retribution for the past. Discipline is correction for the future. Punishment is done in anger. Discipline is done in love. Punishment is to say, this is what you get for what you did. Discipline says, I want to train you to get you on the right path for the future. The Bible says that if you continually sin and sin and sin and you're not disciplined, it just means you're not in God's family. See, I don't go next door and discipline the kids next door. They're not in my family, but I discipline my own kids because they're in my family. One of the ways you know you're a Christian is you can't sin and get away with it. God brings discipline in your life to correct you. Now, I don't have time to go into all this into detail. So I've written a little pamphlet called Living Without Condemnation. It's based on today's message and explains how does God respond when I sin, what happens when a Christian sins, what doesn't happen, the difference between punishment and discipline, and what to do to get back in line. And I printed up 14,000 of them for this weekend. So on your way out, you could pick one up for free, and it'll give you a little bit greater explanation of what we're talking about here. But notice what the Bible says. 1 John 2:2, read it with me. When Jesus served as a sacrifice for our sins, he solved the sin problem for God, not only ours, but the whole world's. He solved it right there. So God doesn't reject me when I sin because Jesus has already taken the punishment. Number four, God doesn't reject me when I sin as a Christian because Jesus understands my human weaknesses. He's sympathetic. He's understanding. He knows my frailties, my faults. He knows what makes me tick. He knows how I'm wired. Now, one of the most beautiful truths you're going to need to learn in the Christian life is this. God is patient with you. God is patient with you. And he just doesn't get impatient. In fact, look at what the Bible says in Hebrews 4:15. He, meaning God, Jesus, understands our weaknesses. For he faced all of the same temptations we do, yet he did not sin. When Jesus Christ was here on the earth, he experienced every temptation known to man, common to man. He said, I understand what you are. I know what it's like to be a human being. He came and lived in human flesh for 33 years. And so he's sympathetic. He understands your weaknesses. He knows what you're going through. He knows what it's like to be tempted. And he's sympathetic. And then number five, God doesn't reject me when I sin because God doesn't hold on to grudges. God doesn't hold on to grudges. Psalm 103 says this in the New Living Translation. God will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He has not punished us for all our sins. I'm glad for that. Nor does he deal with us as we deserve. I'm glad for that too. He is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. To those who fear him. What does that mean? Those who respect him, those who trusted in him, those who committed to him, those who are in his family. Again, this is the benefit of being a believer. God doesn't hold a grudge at me. If you're a believer, God is not angry with you. Let me say it again. If you're a believer, God is not angry with you. Why? All of the punishment was taken on the cross. You may be thinking, Rick, you don't know how far I've fallen. You don't know what I've done. No, I don't, but God does. And you may think, I've just strayed too far away. Well, if you've strayed far away from God, either by one giant step like having an affair or just a bunch of little small steps where you kind of slacked off in your Christian commitment, this is what God says to you. Jeremiah 3:22. Would you read it aloud with me? God says, "Come back to me, you unfaithful children, and I will beat you up." Oh, that's not what it says. It doesn't say that, does it? "Come back to me, you unfaithful children, and I will forgive you for being unfaithful." See, many people do not understand the difference between fellowship and relationship. Fellowship is your current status. Relationship is your permanent position. Can I be out of fellowship with my wife and still be married to her? Well, of course I can. Can a child be out of fellowship with his or her parent and yet still be a child? Of course. When you sin, you don't lose the relationship, you lose the fellowship. You see, those of you who are parents, you have children, and as much as you try to raise them in the right way, when they get older, they're going to make their own decisions. And I hope this doesn't happen. But you might have a child who does the very thing you despise the most. You might even have a child who one day, in a fit of anger, publicly disowns you and disavows you as a parent. And you might even have a child who, when they get older, never even talks to you. But nothing will ever change the fact that they're your child. Nothing will ever change that. The fellowship is damaged, but the relationship will always be there because they were born into your family and they cannot be unborn. When you become a believer in Christ, you are born again into God's family and you cannot be unborn. So although the fellowship with God has been broken, the relationship is still there. And you're only one step away from returning. What should I do when I sin? As a Christian, what should I do? You do one word. Are you ready for it? Here it is. Return. Return. Come back to Christ. It's that simple. I blew it and I'm back. Listen to these beautiful verses. Jeremiah 15:19. God says, "If you return to me, I will restore you so you can continue to serve me." No matter what you've done, God says this in Isaiah 1:18. That's a misprint. It's 1:18. God says, "I don't care what you've done, how far you've fallen. Listen to this. No matter how deep the stain of your sins, I can take it out and make you as clean as freshly fallen snow." That ought to be the Clorox verse of the Bible. He said, it doesn't matter. And no matter what you've done, in Isaiah 54:7, he says, "With great compassion, I will take you back." You know, there's a happy ending to the story of Peter's denial. If ever there was a sin that you'd think was unforgivable, it's deny Jesus three times on the night he's betrayed. But Jesus knew Peter would deny him and even knew he would come back to him. In fact, before it even happened, Jesus said to Peter, "Peter," in the upper room, "Satan has desired to sift you, but I have prayed for you. And when you have returned, strengthen the brothers." Did you get that? When you have returned, he knew he would come back. He says, "I've prayed for you." Did you know that the Bible says Jesus prays for you? It says that he's in heaven right now and he liveth to make intercession for the saints. He is praying for you every day. If you could lose your salvation, that means Jesus' prayers don't work. That's impossible. Because he prays for you every day to the Father. Jesus said, I know you're going to fall away, Peter, but when you come back, strengthen the brothers. Jesus knew that Peter's ministry would be more effective after his denial than it was even before. And sure enough, it was. Peter wrote two of the books of the Bible. It's called 1 and 2 Peter. And then he shared his memoirs with a relative called Mark, and that's called the Gospel of Mark. And there are two poignant incidents in Peter's life that happened after his denial. The Bible tells us that in the book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 7, on Easter morning, when the three women went to the tomb, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, and they went there and the stone was rolled away and the angel sitting on it, and the angel says, he is not here, he is risen. And the angel said this, listen, catch this. Go tell his disciples and Peter. Did you hear that? Go tell his disciples and Peter. Jesus knew that Peter was devastated by his denial. He was humiliated. He was ashamed. He was depressed. He thought he could never face Jesus Christ again for what he had done. And Jesus threw in a little special personal recognition. Go tell his disciples and Peter. It's as if he were saying, it's okay, Peter. It's okay. All is forgiven. Come on home. All is forgiven. That is the grace of Jesus Christ.
This is Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren. Rick will be back in just a moment with a closing thought, but right before that, we'd like to remind you that if you'd like a copy of today's broadcast or this entire series, you can simply go to rickwarren.org to get a copy for yourself or for a friend. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional. It's great. And check out all the other available resources. If you've been listening to Daily Hope for a while, you've no doubt heard Pastor Rick say that the secret to being happy, no matter what, is looking at every experience and circumstance you face from God's viewpoint. And that's why we'd like to tell you about the new Choose Joy devotional, written by Pastor Rick's wife, Kay Warren. Each devotion begins with much-needed encouragement from Scripture, followed by Kay's wise words on how to choose joy, minute by minute if necessary. Kay wraps up each devotion with a short prayer to help bring you closer to the source of all joy, our loving God. If you need to revolutionize the way you look at life's ups and downs, let us send you this beautiful hardcover devotional book as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. Call today, 800-600-5004, or visit rickwarren.org to get your copy of this amazing resource. That's 800-600-5004, or rickwarren.org. Thanks so much for your support. When you contact us, remember to ask for the Choose Joy devotional by Kay Warren. And thanks again for your support. Now here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
I love to end our broadcast by reading letters from people like you. Here's one from Melissa, who lives in Colombia. Pastor Rick, I just want to say thanks to you and thanks to God for helping me understand the Bible and for helping bring so many souls to Jesus Christ. I've been blessed because you put your messages online for free. And because of that free ministry, I have access to the truth. I cannot thank you enough for the peace of mind and the joy that I feel reading and listening to your series on rickwarren.org. So evidently, she's not just listening to the podcast, she's getting the Daily Hope devotional. She says, I want to help, and I want to give what God commands to give me to give so that his message can reach the entire world. Thank you, Melissa from Colombia. Well, Melissa, thank you. Thank you for your encouragement, and thank you for your financial gift, and thank you for caring about people who haven't heard the good news. You see, when we work together, we're able to do things we cannot do on our own. Together, we reach people that would never be reached any other way. And when you get to heaven, we're going to celebrate all the souls that have come to know Jesus Christ. So thank you for listening, thank you for supporting, and thank you for praying. And I want to say the same thing to all of the rest of you who are doing that too. God bless you, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.